Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session, and we are back together in the studio. It's good to see you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, man. How was Memphis?
Memphis is cool. Cool town. Things ended there rather prematurely. I probably shouldn't get into that too much because of confidentiality reasons, but it looks like I'm going to be home for a little while.
Okay.
Is what it is. It's the life of a consultant. I signed a 12-month contract that lasted 7 days.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a 12-month. Wow.
Yeah, it was it was scheduled to be a 12-18-month contract. And
did not quite work out.
When you're at your desk and the plant manager comes to your desk and says, all consultants need to be out of the door by 3:15 because we're having a mandatory town hall at 3:30. Didn't think good news was going to come after that, and not surprisingly, it did not. So anyway, I'm back. Such is the life of a consultant. Because of having some time off, I got to watch a fair bit of the impeachment proceedings. As you described, there was just one camera, but it captured a lot more than I thought it might. So it did reach around. It might have actually caught. That sounded funny.
Be careful.
It did catch some of the gallery, but it was kind of a long distance shot of John Roberts, who looks like he's aged 100 years.
Yeah, he doesn't look great.
When he was put into the role. Oh, granted, that was under Bush.
I mean, that was under Bush. Yeah, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mean, that was three presidents ago. So, I mean, it's a while.
I guess. You're right. Haven't seen him since then.
I remember I was in law school when he got put in. So, you know, it's been quite a while.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, I got to watch a fair bit of it. It's the same old bullshit. They've decided not to call witnesses. It sounds like it's going to go exactly as you and I and many people predicted. It's going to go pretty much straight down party lines. He's not going to be removed from office. What impact this has on November is, I think, to be determined. So
I have to get into this. I'm sorry. We don't need to kind of pussyfoot around it. So the impeachment, like you said, is going as we thought that it would. You know, it's going down party lines, and they are... I think this the whole idea that this is just about, you know, partisan theater is, that's what this is, right? Yep. The Democrats are mad at Trump. They don't like him. The Republicans will back him no matter what he does, short of, I don't know at this point. I really don't know.
He actually has to shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and see if his prediction is right.
Right. I mean, it's amazing how they'll just do backflips to justify things that are clearly not true or obviously, you know, just mistakes, right? Like, I mean, it doesn't mean you're splitting with the party if you say the president made a mistake or said something or did something he wasn't supposed to do. But they can't, like, they don't even have the balls to do that, which is just like, oh, if I do that, I split with the party. No, it's just called, you know, having some sort of a spine.
Right. Which is splitting with the party.
Right. But, I mean, so... Alan Dershowitz jumps into this whole thing, and Alan Dershowitz is a renowned lawyer, Harvard emeritus professor, and, you know, he's been around wherever there is a camera and political strife, Alan Dershowitz will surely pop up as the constitutional expert.
Sure, yeah.
He's... Alan Dershowitz is one of those guys that likes the spotlight. Let's not get it twisted. I mean, since Clinton's impeachment and even before that, he has constantly been, you know, in the spotlight in some way, shape, or form with one of his clients or, you know, being tabbed by the media to talk about certain issues. So he's brought into President Trump's legal team to talk about the constitutionality of the president's impeachment. Right.
Right.
Now, mind you, during Clinton's impeachment, he was brought in for similar reasons. Right. Now, in this go round, he basically says that the president's in order to impeach a president, one, the presidential behavior needs to be criminal in order for it to be impeachable. Then he also says, he makes this insane statement that if in a president's frame of mind, that he, if he believes what he's doing is to the benefit of the people and it's not criminal, then it can't be impeachable. Right. And so if the president believes that him being reelected is for the benefit of the people and he does an action that other people don't necessarily see as beneficial to the people and they see as, you know, an abuse of power, then it can't be impeachable because in the president's mind, he thought he was doing a good thing. Now, you don't have to be a lawyer, you don't have to be a law student, and you don't have to be well versed in constitutional law to see the flaws in that argument. Right.
But basically, dictatorship 101.
Exactly. It's as long as I think
it's good for the people, which right. is really me.
And he tried to give himself an out saying, and as long as it's not criminal, which, you know, in this, in what the president has done in this particular instance, or what they believe he has done, doesn't necessarily qualify as criminal. I don't think that it reaches the, it doesn't reach the elements of bribery. And now people are saying that it was criminal that he withheld the money from the Ukraine. The issue is that while he did withhold it for a certain period of time, he didn't withhold it beyond the due date in which that money was supposed to be delivered, right? He had up until the end of September to deliver the money. The money gets delivered in early to mid-September. Now, people are saying it was only, he only released it after he found out. That's not one of the elements.
Why not? Because
it's not like the president can with, like, listen.
That doesn't make it criminal necessarily, but it's clearly misuse of his power.
That's fine, but again, you can say it was a misuse of power, but if he's got a legitimate argument as to why he was withholding it, then he could say, listen, we can't take Puerto Rico, for example, right? Okay. Everybody jumped down his throat because he said, listen, I'm not going to give Puerto Rico any more money regarding the hurricanes because their government is corrupt and that money isn't being spent the way it's supposed to be spent. People aren't getting the help they're supposed to get. People jumped down his throat and they said that he was racist and all these other things, right? Us included. Well, we come to find out just last month that they found this secret place where there were a ton of supplies and there were a ton of things that people needed. And people still need help down in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is still a mess, right? There were tons and tons. I mean, we're talking literally thousands of pounds of supplies and water and things like that that could have gone to people that weren't going to people that were hidden and that were being basically sold on the black market by someone in the government, which they now miraculously can't figure out what's going on there, right? And no one knows anything and everyone is kind of turning their backs and the people in Puerto Rico themselves, people from Puerto Rico, people who live there, not, you know, plants from, you know, the GOP or anything like, people from Puerto Rico, people that I know, they said, listen, the government is absolutely corrupt. And the Puerto Rican government running, you know, restoration efforts and recovery efforts is a terrible idea, right? So maybe he wasn't that far off the mark with it. It's just that obviously he says it in the most ridiculous way. So it chaps our skin when he says shit like that. But on that particular issue, he was right. Now, here, it's total bullshit, right? He really wasn't fighting corruption, and he's done enough in his administration that is the complete opposite of fighting corruption, right? With just the way that he's handled certain legislation and the way we deal with foreign policy and the way we deal with international corruption, that there's no way that he can make an argument that he actually was concerned about corruption. Right. Like, I mean, he's actually tearing down anti-corruption laws as we speak.
Right.
Right. So the idea that he was worried about corruption in the Ukraine makes no fucking sense.
I am shocked to find there's gambling going on. Here's your winning, sir.
Exactly. But at the same time, the Democrats haven't made a good case against it. So his argument is, listen, money goes into Ukraine for X, but yet it gets used for Y on a consistent basis. That is something that can be proven. Right. And then you have this connection with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, which everyone acknowledges that Hunter Biden is a buffoon and one has no business in the role that he was in, right? Just getting funneled tens of thousands of dollars on a monthly basis. And the optics of it are bad. Now, has Hunter Biden committed a crime? No. Has Joe Biden committed a crime? No. But he could say, listen, doesn't look good. I want to know what's going on there before I hand over all this money, right? Like, That's the argument he can make.
Right.
And the thing is, you need to prove, what you have to prove is not, you don't, what doesn't, it doesn't really matter what Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were doing, right? Like, that's a whole separate thing.
Exactly.
right? But the issue is what you do have to prove, right, is that it wasn't for that reason. What you have to prove is something that is really going to be fucking nearly impossible to prove unless you hear it out of his mouth, right?
Almost, or John Bolton's.
Or John Bolton's, which, I mean, we can get to that in a second, but, like, unless you, like, you need a firsthand account, right? And then, even then, you probably need some, like, then you need the other dominoes to fall in terms of what they heard, and you're probably going to want some form of documentation, and then maybe you can piece together enough to have what you need to actually prove what you're claiming here. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a tough road to hoe, I'm just saying, like, that's the road that you need to hoe, whether sure. we like it or not. And if you can do that, then, okay, now a lot of this makes sense. But going back to Dershowitz, like, no, bro, it's not, well, because he thought it was the good. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he thought he was doing it for the right reason. It like, abuse of power is abuse of power, right? But you have to be able to prove that abuse of power and not just go on a whim. Otherwise, that does put our democracy at risk.
Yeah, and I mean, Dershowitz is the highest level ambulance chaser ever. I know a lot of people believe he was only on the OJ team so they could shut him up.
Maybe.
That they just wanted him because he was going off talking Maybe. About, and, you know. But yeah, the notion that if the president thinks it's good for the people, he can do whatever the hell he wants, that you might as well just get rid of anything we have
right. resembling and then, that also goes again. I mean, like, Dershowitz also made the opposite argument when he was arguing against Clinton being impeached, saying that a crime doesn't need to be committed for an offense to be impeachable, right? Like, so he's jumped back and forth right. on the issue. There's enough in that initial argument that you don't necessarily need a crime for an action to be impeachable. I mean, we based off of one previous impeachments, right, of other officials besides presidents, other senators
right.
and statesmen. And then again, words written by the founders are telling us that it doesn't have to be an actual criminal offense.
Right.
I just thought that Dershowitz just went up there and made a mess of, his reputation from a legal standpoint, because it's inconsistent with his previous statements, and then it's inconsistent with history, what we know, and the Constitution.
Right on the point of the Constitution. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and then John Bolton. A lot of people are worried about John, or really want John Bolton's testimony because they believe that it is the linchpin, the key to all of this. I have been warning, like, one, I agree. I think that if John Bolton is going to be honest, then this could be something really devastating for Trump, although I think he would be able to survive it. And that's what they're trying to kind of gear up for to a degree. But at the same time, if Bolton were to get up there and grandstand and not necessarily lie, but not say anything and stonewall and just say, it's in the book. Check out my book.
Read my book.
You can get it at www.johnbolton.com or thestash.com or, hornystatesman.com or whatever his website is. Then you're not anywhere,
Yep.
Because they're talking about subpoenaing him anyway, even after this vote, to get him to testify. And I think at this point, this is just a way to sell books and get in the spotlight. He may not give you what you need. He may only add fuel to the fire. You're going to lose this thing anyway. Just get out. Focus on the 2020 election. Try to salvage that if you can, which I'm not confident that you can, and hope that you can pull something off.
Is the Iowa caucus this Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we went through the schedule last.
I know
week,
we did, Jim. But I
were
well,
you paying attention, Jim?
I was.
Were you paying attention, James?
A lot has happened since then.
It goes Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and then you got Super Tuesday,
right?
Which
I just remember was this Tuesday or next Tuesday.
It's the 3rd, February 3rd.
Okay. So last week we talked quite a bit about the untimely death of Kobe Bryant, and that's gotten, it's owned the sports talk for the remainder of the week, just nothing but stories about people interacting with him, and obviously it's a tragedy. And you were not the only one to bring up to me that comedian Ari Shaffir decided to shoot a video that was pretty gross. So basically Ari Shaffir said Kobe Bryant died 23 years too late or whatever he said. And, they brought up the rape allegations, all that. And, my buddy Dave in Philly, huge Kobe fan, Kobe being from Philadelphia, Dave loves Kobe. And, he was pretty pissed.
Also, Arsifir's math was wrong, but
okay. But regardless, so I'm the first one to say all the time, right? A joke is funny or it's not. This wasn't even a joke. This was just a rant to say something hateful about someone who died days before. I mean, Ari Shaffir is a very heavy drug user. I'm not blaming the drugs, but I almost am hoping that he was high as fuck when he did that, because no person in their right mind should say that shit and put it out there for the public to consume, in my opinion. And again, it's not a good joke. It wasn't even a joke. And this could really hurt him professionally because, among other things, he's a New York-based comedian, but he spends a lot of time in L.A. And he spends a lot of time at the Comedy Store in L.A. with, you know, he's good friends with Joe Rogan and all that crowd. I don't think the Comedy Store is going to be booking Ari Shaffir anytime soon.
Well, I mean, what we know at this point is the backlash that he's received has been, I mean, extensive. Other comics, I mean, Godfrey just ripped into him.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
It was not funny. It was, you are getting what you deserve, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, if someone falls through with whatever they're threatening, that's on you.
People have been threatening him
physical harm. And listen, Shaffir's defense is, well, I do this all the time and people die. You know, people are getting all this praise when they die. It's the perfect time to counter that with, you know, extensive criticism. So, you know, it's an art form. I usually don't even mean it. You know, people are just taking things too serious. And it's like, look, man, you have the right to say whatever you want.
Sure.
Right? And listen, government's not coming after you. They're not throwing you in jail. The government's not firing you from anything. So your First Amendment rights are fully protected.
Sure.
You go ahead, say whatever you want, baby boy. But ultimately, look, there's repercussions.
Right.
Right? There's repercussions. Like, you said it. Right, you're Tommy Toughnuts. You don't care. You don't give a fuck. You're from New York. You spent time in L.A. You're the toughest little guy in the world. Okay, well, now you pushed it too far, and now you have to deal with the repercussions. Which he's already lost a sponsor. Multiple. He had a lot of shows booked, and a lot of them said, "Nope, don't even bother." You know, obviously his user or his followers on social media are dropping. You know, they were dropping at the thousands. You know, earlier in the week when a lot of this went down, or last week whenever it went down, you know, a lot of comics that, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, people turn their back on it. Like, listen, man, this is what happens when you live on that edge of being the ultimate edgy and, you know, saying things that you know are offensive to offend people. You're not right. Doing this to be funny. You want people to be offended. You want people to come after you, right? Like, I mean, he shot the video and then he doubled down on it in another video afterwards. So look, in another tweet and all that other stuff on Instagram, and then he made his account private, right? He's like,
okay.
You know, I mean, the move, it's just like, oh, okay, like you don't mind the heat, you can take it, blah, 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 and then you make everything private. I just think, again, I'm with Godfrey on this one. Whatever happens, happens. I don't give a shit about your career. Like, I don't feel your rights aren't being violated.
Right. No, yeah.
You're just being canceled by the culture that you created, or that you were immersed in. You're being canceled by that culture because you became a cancer in that culture. So sorry. Whatever happens, happens. Good luck working at fucking Walmart.
You know, I you know me. I will defend comics over comedy to the death. This isn't comedy. This is just, I'm going to say, like you said, I'm going to say something shitty because people are praising someone who died that I didn't like.
Yep.
That's it. And I'm going to definitely have to listen to Joe Rogan this week because I don't know how he avoids the subject.
You can't. Whatever Joe Rogan does, I mean, like, it, you know, if he's like he's a friend or whatever, I mean, I don't think Joe Rogan will defend the actions. It'll be interesting to see how he navigates it.
I'll be very curious.
You know, and I'll actually probably have to listen. You know, it's a hell of a time commitment, but I will listen and see. Hopefully, you know, someone will cut it out and make a clip of it.
I'm guessing if you Google Joe Rogan, Ari Shaffir, this, or YouTube it, something will pop up. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Ari Shaffir is the same guy who thought it'd be funny to drop a Molly in Bert Kreischer's drink and then bragged about it on the Rogan podcast. Which, that's a felony by most fair. Accounts.
I mean, I'm although I'm with him on that. So
yeah, well, we've been down this road. I mean, anyway, but I'm with you. Ari Shaffir, I feel
no sympathy. No sympathy.
And let me be clear, as a comic, I love that guy. Like, he's got a few bits I think are fantastic. I love him as a comedian. This makes me dislike him.
Yeah.
And it's.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan. I've heard some of his bits. I thought, like, I think with any comic, like, I don't hate any comic, but I think that there are a lot of comics that I come across, or comics that I like, are comics that I find funny talking about multiple topics. Okay. Right, like if you have a funny bit here and a funny bit there, like I won't shit on anybody, but like if your overall bit is, I'm the asshole, I'm smarter than you, and if you don't laugh at my jokes because you're not smart, which Ari Shaffir is definitely that type, then it's just like fuck off, like
okay,
you know what I mean, like there's a lot of that, and it's just like all right, get your fucking wounded personality and get the fuck out of here.
Meanwhile, his best bit is about farting on a TSA agent, so not exactly highbrow humor. All right, so you wanted to talk about the coronavirus. I know it's been all over the news. I'm curious what you want to say about it, because I...
Well, I mean, I think, you know, people have been texting me. Like, someone came in, or apparently someone with... They found the coronavirus here in Ohio, right? Like, someone flew in on a plane from Chicago who had the coronavirus 2 weeks ago, and it's on the news. And then just, it's everywhere. It's all, oh my God, the virus. You know... And I guess when you look at the numbers, what the fuck? When you look at the numbers, sorry, I had a random phone call coming through. Like, why do people call me? Just fucking send me a text. It's like, don't start with a phone call. Send me a text unless you are fucking dying.
All right, you're having a meltdown on the show. Anyway, so people are calling you about the coronavirus. And from what I understand, it's not nearly as dangerous as the actual flu.
Right. Yeah, so it's not as dangerous. It's not as dangerous as the actual flu. The flu killed like 9,000 people last year. Or I think the exact number was like 8,200 people last year.
Okay.
You know, SARS had a much higher death rate. I mean, it was closer to like 15%, depending on like the age group, right? Like, right. So if you were over the age of 65, you know, if you got SARS, then the death rate was in the 30-40%. It was really high if you were over 65. And if you were below a year old, right?
Then
the death rate was really high. But anyone between the ages of like 6 and 60, you were relatively fine if you got SARS or the bird flu or any of these things. South Park actually did a bit on SARS years ago where... Long story short, like the entire town of South Park got quarantined. And the Native Americans were the only ones who didn't have SARS, and they gave the people at South Park who were like quarantined outside like
SARS blankets. Oh God!
And you know, Randy's Stan's dad was just like, "Listen, son, there's a 2% chance that I'm not going to make it. You have to carry on the family name, the family legacy. You know, there's a 98% chance that I'm going to survive. Right? That's not good enough." But it just and that's kind of where we're at here, right? I mean, so far with this thing, it's only a 2% survival or 2% survival, 2% death rate, which is terrible.
It's terrible, yeah.
Yeah, it's sad to talk about, but the reality is, if you get it, chances are you're just gonna have the flu, right? I mean, it's like, oh, we don't know enough about it. Like, okay, but the people who have it, like they get tired, they get sweaty, gross, they get a fever, and then they get better. And it's literally the flu.
Yeah.
It is another form of the flu. Which nobody wants the flu. Wash your hands. You know, don't like sit there and open your mouth when people are sneezing around you. Avoid gross places like hospitals and stuff if you can. If you work in one, you know.
Well, I mean, I was just on a plane that landed in Chicago and flew here, so...
Yeah,
if I give you coronavirus, I apologize in advance.
I'm sitting in a room with you, so I mean, I don't know, man. That's kind of a dick move by you, but That's all I want to say is like don't overreact to it. I mean, like they're throwing it out there, and it's just it's on every news cycle, national, local, coronavirus. It's the flu. People do the same shit you do with the flu. Like it's not going to kill you unless you're much older or you've got a young child. If you have a young child under the age of six, which I have one, I got a 5-year-old. But I mean, they're walking petri dishes, right? Like they're gross little creatures.
Kids are gross, yeah.
Right? I mean, they just bring home everything. Their noses never stop running. There's always something with them. Like they're just gross little things. So I mean, I'm sure they'll be fine. I mean, because they just swap shit back and forth, and they don't know how to wash their fucking hands. So I mean, you know, just have some sense about this, please.
It just, I mean, it's got to fill up that 24-hour news cycle, and this is one of those things that can do it. All right, man, it's Super Bowl week. We got to talk some football. But before we get to the actual game, I'm really curious to hear your thoughts about Kareem Hunt's situation, because he got pulled over for speeding. They found an open container in a bag and a small amount of marijuana in Rocky River, Ohio, a town that you and I talk about fairly regularly. It is one of the more affluent suburbs of Cleveland. And it's not even a criminal offense in Rocky River. And by the way, I've seen more weed smoked in Rocky River than anywhere else I've ever been in the world. That's because of who I hang out with.
Yes.
But weed in Rocky River is not a shocking thing. What shocks me is he's pulled over for speeding. What was the reason for searching his car? Do you know? I don't.
They didn't say. In the reports that I saw, they didn't say. I think it was more of a... They just asked, you know, and he and I think he felt comfortable with them doing. I mean, with the thing, like with the decriminalization of marijuana, like there was so little in his car. I think he had a pretty decent understanding of it. That knew he wasn't like so. He didn't get a ticket. He didn't get arrested. He wasn't charged with anything. He didn't even get a ticket. People were like, "Oh, he got treated unfairly." Like it's so small that it's not. It's literally not a crime in Rocky River. It's just a minor ticket infraction. So it wouldn't have, it sounds like it wasn't worth the officer's time to even write the ticket, which, you know, if you have money, like in places like that, like the police officers really aren't trying to hem you up, right?
Right.
And there's no reason, like, because the other thing is for them to test it, to figure out the exact amount of marijuana and THC that was in it, all that stuff, the financial cost isn't worth it to the Rocky River Police Department, right? I mean, they have plenty of very wealthy people that live in this neighborhood.
Yep.
Like, they're not worried about Kareem Hunt. They're just not, right?
If Kareem Hunt was not an NFL player, we wouldn't know. This story would not.
No, it wouldn't.
Man got speeding ticket would be the headline.
It wouldn't even be a headline. No one would report it. No one would give a shit, right? I mean, it just he would have got his ticket, and he would have paid the ticket, and no one would have known. Like, I mean, it's all right, because he's in the NFL, any interaction with the police and with his history, I get it. I just think it's interesting the way this is being pushed in the media, right? The headlines, Kareem Hunt pulled over, weed in his car, alcohol strewn about, you know? I mean,
it's make it sound like it was a...
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he was just on a drunk, weed-smoking bender just driving down the street. But what it sounds like, you know, the vodka, he had a bottle of vodka that was capped and in a bag in his back seat. And then he had, you know, the small amount of marijuana that didn't register enough for the officer to give him a ticket. They gave him a speeding ticket. He went on his way.
Right.
So without reading the story, you think, oh, this guy's going down. He's out of the league. What are you doing? Now, he still may have an issue with the league, right? I mean, because while he wasn't charged with anything, the league is a private entity. And if they say, we don't like the fact that you were found with weed, so we're going to drug test you right now. And if it's not out of his system, if he smoked it,
which we don't know,
but if he smoked it and it's still in his system, then again he could have an issue. And the league, in the way the CBA is written, he doesn't need to be criminally charged in order for them to test him, right? And he's already got issues because, you know, he was suspended and basically indefinitely by the league because of that incident that happened here in Cleveland with the girl in the hotel where alcohol is involved.
Right.
So they may not like the fact that the vodka was in the car. You know, so he may have repercussions from the league depending on how they view this. You know, I mean, I guarantee you he's going to have to go talk to Roger Goodell at some point and plead for, you know, some sort of, you know, pass on this one.
On your bullshit scale from 1 to 10, how much would you call bullshit on this?
I would call, I mean, well,
I'm going 9.
Yeah, I mean, it's a non-story, and it's more, the issue is the way that it, one, the way it was reported, and why it was reported, because of who he is, and because this is, like, the media, there's a lot you could say about why they reported it the way they did. There's a race factor in there, there's a celebrity factor in there, there's an NFL factor in there, like, or we'll say a professional sports factor in there. You know, they're going for clicks. They want the salacious headlines and all that. They want people to do exactly what we did, right? Like, wow, this sounds really bad. And then you read it and it's just like, okay, what? Like, but you've already clicked on the story.
Right.
So you've had the...
Or more importantly, you've read the headline and formed your own opinion. That's what happens.
They don't care about that. They care that you've engaged their story, right? Like, I mean, think about it. We have a website.
Right.
What's the key to the website is people clicking on the website, sure, and looking at the story. Once they've formed, like, we don't care what their opinion is. We want them to click, sure, on the website, sure, because that drives traffic to the site.
But my point is that most people won't go through the trouble of reading the story.
Oh,
they're going to see the headline, form their opinion, and like I said, now Kareem Hunt's a boozed up monster running down white people on the sidewalks of Rocky River. Well, no. He had a bit of weed in his car.
Right.
As I mean, do probably 25% of the cars in Rocky River at any given time.
Right. I mean, it's you're right. It is a bullshit story, but again, this could have bad repercussions for him with the league, depending on how they view
it. Now, I'm thinking through this. What would happen if Baker Mayfield did the exact same thing? I think he would draw the same headline.
I think it would draw the same headline. I think if it were Baker Mayfield or if it were Joel Schobert or something along those lines, like, I think... You can take the race element out of it. That story is still going to get reported the same.
Right. The salaciousness of it.
If it's a professional player on any of the teams that people know, then they're going to... And even if it's someone they don't know, then what they'll do is say, you know, Indians player pulled over, you know, drugs and alcohol found in car. You know, so then you got to click on it and say, what player is it? And you're like, who the fuck is Peter Johnson? Who the fuck is this? You know, come to find out it's some, you know, guy that they just called out.
A middle infielder, backup middle infielder from the Indians. I hope there really isn't a Peter Johnson who plays for the Indians that we just badmouth.
Right.
So what if this happened to Eli Manning? Would that get the same story?
No, I mean, maybe. I mean, I think maybe Eli, people would reach out to Eli and be like, man, I understand. It's okay.
I think more people are like, you're more interesting than I thought you were.
Right.
Speaking of Eli Manning.
Although there is an interesting story about Eli Manning early on in his career that I found out from a personal friend. You know, he did retire last week, and we kind of teased it a little bit at the end of our show last week because we ran out of time. So Eli retires, and there's a lot of talk about, is he a Hall of Famer or not? And looking at his stats, you know, looking at yardage, looking at touchdowns, looking at wins, you're going to say, no, he's, you know, an average quarterback. And there's an argument for it. I think he has more interceptions than he does touchdowns, or if he has more touchdowns, it's barely.
Yeah, it's close. I think he's had only a few seasons where he didn't have more interceptions than touchdowns.
Right. And then the other side, the other argument is, you know, he's got 2 Super Bowls, a Super Bowl MVP.
Does he have 2 Super Bowls?
Maybe.
I think he does have 2.
And, you know, he's got 8 playoff wins. You know, those all came in 2 seasons. But nonetheless, he's got 8, right? I mean, and listen, he's got more than, like, first of all, 8 is more than a lot of quarterbacks, right?
There's
8 is more than other quarterbacks that are in the actual Hall of Fame, right?
Sure.
And people say, well, they just came in 2 seasons. It doesn't matter.
He won 2 Super Bowls.
He won 2 Super Bowls, right? It's more than, you know, it's more than Dan Fouts won. It's more than Joe Namath won. It's more than Steve Young won. Steve Young only won 1 Super Bowl, kids.
Dan Marino, Jim Kelly.
Right. I mean, Jim Kelly was a great quarterback. Dan Marino was a great quarterback. No Super Bowls.
Right.
Right? So, you know, you have this list of people that are in the Hall of Fame with, you know, you got to remember, Super Bowl is the biggest game of football, right?
Sure.
It's the pinnacle, right? And he was great in 2 of those games, right? Like, there's not an argument. He was great in those games.
Well, he made some great plays. I mean, his stats were not overwhelming in either of them. But he made the critical throw, got pinned against a helmet.
And I could say that about Tom Brady in multiple Super Bowls. True, right? Like, yeah. His stats weren't great, but it's just like, well, he did, you know, lead the team down the field to win the game at the end.
The winning quarterback is almost the default Super Bowl MVP. It's like, if you don't have some clear choice.
The reality is, most people couldn't tell you what Tom Brady's stats were in most of the Super Bowls that they played. But they can tell you about what he did lead the team down the field to beat the Panthers and the other teams. So, you know, the Super Bowl, a lot of it isn't about stats. It's about what you're able to do in those high-pressure moments. Sure. That's how the game is defined, right? Like, I mean, when you practice football and you talk, it's just like, you know, performance under pressure. You know, anyone can do it in practice. Anyone can make great catches in practice. Can you do it when the game is on the line? Same with throws and everything else. You know, Eli's going to the Hall of Fame. There's just, he's going. It's going to drive a lot of people really, it's going to drive them up a wall. Well, you should have said it about Joe Namath going to the Hall of Fame. You should have said it about Dan Fouts. You should have said it about all these other average quarterbacks. You know, I mean, these other average quarterbacks who don't have Super Bowl wins that are in the Hall of Fame, right? Like, I mean, you just, like, you, or they only have one Super Bowl win, or they have fewer playoff wins, right? Like, if you didn't put up a fight against those, then you're not, like, you just don't have the ground to stand on with Eli Manning.
So Eli was literally a career 500 quarterback. He was 117 and 117 as a quarterback. Some people might not. he will get into the Hall of Fame, but if his name was not Manning, I don't think he would.
Not true.
I don't think he would.
Fucking way that you win two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, in the fashion that he did, beating Tom Brady twice, this insurmountable mountain, and not go to the Hall of Fame. There's just not, like, okay. I don't care what his name was.
He will go. If you look at it purely, if those
teams never made, like, listen, there's that first team that went, I think they went 9-7. They barely made it in the playoffs. So, and I think the only reason they actually made it in was, I mean, it was something ridiculous happened at the end of the season that allowed them to get in, right? I mean, I think it revolved around Dallas losing or something like that, per usual.
Typically it is.
But, or maybe it was Philly, I can't remember. But either way, look, I'm not contending that Eli was a great quarterback, but what I'm saying is, just with what we know, like how the Hall of Fame works with who's in there and why they're there, he's going, right? He's going.
So here's the thing. He retired this year.
Yep.
Philip Rivers may also retire. I don't know if he already has announced or not. If you had to choose between Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, I'm botching this, trying to get this out, but basically, Eli was never one of the top five quarterbacks in the league when he was playing that I can think of. I don't ever remember thinking, oh, fuck, Eli Manning's coming to town. Drew Brees, in my opinion, far superior quarterback. Right? One of the most decorated of all times. If Rivers retires this year, and he and Eli are eligible for the Hall at the same time, I would vote for Philip Rivers over Eli Manning.
You'd be wrong.
Philip
Rivers is, I mean, he's one of those guys, he's a volume passer. He's got a shit ton of interceptions himself.
Yeah.
You know,
does not have a playoff resume to brag about.
Doesn't have a playoff resume worth of shit. Has never been to a Super Bowl. You know, played with some really good running backs as well. You know, in LaDainian Tomlinson, and you know, he's had Melvin Gordon. He had there was one other one in there.
Okay,
but either way, I mean, so I don't really. Like, I mean, you can, like, again,
my point is, he's going to be in a logjam of quarterbacks eligible for the Hall of Fame at that time. And if it comes down to Brees and Brady, don't even make the argument. But when you get to Rivers,
I'm not putting a guy who I don't, how many times did Philip Rivers even make the playoffs? How many playoff wins does he have?
I don't know.
I mean, does he have five playoff wins? I don't think so.
I don't know.
So I'm not putting that guy in over Eli Manning, who I know who has been to the Super Bowl twice and won it.
Okay.
I'm not.
But you'd agree with me that once Brees and Brady are going against him, he's going to get bumped back and back because those guys
it all depends on timing, right?
Right.
I don't think we're certain Tom Brady is retiring.
No.
And
but we don't know where he's going to play next year.
I don't know. But I think he's, I know he's a free agent.
He is.
And I know that the Chargers released Phillip Rivers or just didn't do anything with him.
Also,
he's out. So the question is, do one of those guys pop up somewhere? You know, do they pop up? Does one of them pop up in Arizona to help Kyler Murray? Or does one of them pop up in one of these average middling teams? You know, do the Steelers find out that Ben Roethlisberger is not going to be ready until week 9 of the season or something like that? So they bring in, you know, a veteran. I doubt it would be Tom Brady or whatever, but who knows? I don't know.
How weird would it be for you to watch Tom Brady play for the Steelers?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
I almost want that to happen just to see your reaction.
Ooh, I don't know if I... Ooh, I don't know. I can just tell you that when you said... When that came out, just when I set you up to say that, like something weird happened in my body that I'm not proud of. And it was... No, it was not an erection. It was just something else. Dark and sinister.
Okay.
Like, so I don't think that that would be a good combination. And I'm hoping that there is no, like... way that can happen. Hopefully you didn't put it in the universe.
It's out there now.
Like, just that weird scene in Rambo where it's like cutting himself, that could be me in the dark. No, actually, that was Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't happen.
Tropic Thunder when he killed the panda.
Okay, let's take a moment. Just mistook Sylvester Stallone in Rambo for Ben Stiller in Tropic Thunder killing a panda.
Yes. Because I was
this has been a sober show. I want everyone to know that. I don't know that. Something went off in a dark place for you, and I don't know what that did to your brain. But it
either
didn't
way,
help.
let's just not have Tom Brady
on the Steelers. Okay, fine.
That works.
All right. So big game is here this week. You want to do your predictions?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think
I'll write mine down so I can't be accused of being biased.
All right.
You can go first.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm going to say Kansas City 4.5, -4.5. Basically saying that they're going to win by a little more than a field goal, which is tough because of the way the scoring happens in the NFL. But I like Kansas City. Now, San Francisco's defense was really good, but I just think that Kansas City's offense can put a ton of pressure on them. And I don't think that San Francisco's offense is very good. Yes, they've run the ball effectively. But they've done it against teams that aren't great at stopping the run. And I've seen their run get shut down, completely shut down. They rotate backs through. You know, they have this kid in there, Mostert, who had a really big game against, who was that, Minnesota or whoever, or Green Bay.
When Garoppolo threw the ball a total of 8 times in the game or whatever.
I'm not completely sold on San Francisco's offense being effective if they get down. You know, by double digits, I'm also not sure that they can go shot for shot. You know, I don't know how long that defense will truly be able to hold, will be able to hold Kansas City. Like, I watched San Francisco a lot this year because they played the AFC North. So they played the Browns, they played the Steelers, they played the Ravens. And, like, yeah, they beat the brakes off the Browns. But they beat the Steelers because the Steelers turned the ball over 5 times. But the 49ers turned the ball over 4 times. Now, it was early in the season, but you could see where that offense wasn't great. And I saw that same offense week in and week out, but teams did not really game plan well for it, right? There was a different dynamic once they added Emmanuel Sanders, who was a receiver, former Steeler, former Denver Bronco, who helped them a little bit, but he has had a decent season with them, but he's not unstoppable. You know, I mean, I think he's 31, 32 years old. I don't have a lot of faith in the San Francisco offense. So, like I said, I'm going with Kansas City.
I'm going to go so far as to predict a score. Chiefs 34-20.
Okay.
So I'm thinking the Chiefs are going to score. I know San Francisco's defense is great. I have not watched them a ton. Pat Mahomes is a machine. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to get ahead early, and it's going to be tough for San Francisco to bounce back. And
see,
I think they'll make some mistakes.
I don't think Kansas City is going to get ahead early. I think that Kansas City is going to I kind of compare it to like Velociraptors, right? Like they're going to just constantly put pressure and figure out where the weak points, who's the weak link in that San Francisco defense, which they have them. I'm not totally sold on, you know, some of the the safety, and I'm not totally sold on, you know, Richard Sherman being able to kind of stay with the speed that Kansas City has on the outside and even the pressure they can put on in the middle. And I think that, you know, the first quarter and a half, even maybe the first half, is slow. And then I think Andy Reid comes out and unleashes the horses, and then you'll have an onslaught. It's kind of like Golden State, the way that, you know, when they had, you know, Steph Curry and the other kid.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah, and Kevin Durant and, oh God, I'm thinking, I want to call him Al DeBarge, but that's not his
that
name.
Is not, it's not Ben Stiller either, by the way.
Oh, some local guys call him the DeBarge brothers, and that's why it's got my head screwed up.
Okay.
I know if we have basketball fans out there, they're screaming.
Yeah, they are, and it's the other shooting guard, the Splash Brothers.
God, it's annoying that I can't think of it, but either way. Yeah. That's really bad. But that's the type of pressure that Kansas City's offense can put on any team at any given point in a game, where, you know, it's a quick strike to Tyreek Hill, and then, you know, it's something to Sammy Watkins, it's something to one of the other receivers, and then, you know, Hardeman or something like that, and next thing you know, they've scored three touchdowns in less than 3 minutes, and you're like, we were in this thing, and what the fuck just happened? And, you know, now you're in a backpedal against a team that you do not want to be in that situation with. So I could see that happening, and I don't. And listen, Patrick Mahomes has shown that he can play in big games. The game they lost to New England wasn't because Patrick Mahomes didn't show up. It was because their defense couldn't get Tom Brady off the field on a 4th-and-1.
Yep.
You know, and so that's just why I think that, you know. Now listen, we've seen it before. The defensive team comes out and just, you know, just delivers strike after strike and really never lets the other team get off. And then they'll come through with their game plan of, we're just going to run off tackle nonstop until somebody can stop it. But I think Kansas City's defense has played better, right?
They shut down Tennessee's run game, and Tennessee was running all over people.
Right.
Derrick Henry was just mauling people.
I mean, Tennessee was using that same sort of thought process San Francisco used against Green Bay.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that Kansas City is going to look at it, and they're going to be like, all right, well, listen, as long as people are willing to come up and make the tackle, if you're willing to come up and tackle Derrick Henry, then anyone else in the league, you should be willing to come up and tackle and stop in the same way.
Agreed. Right? Yeah, like a monster, 6'3", 250, and he runs like
just,
that.
You know, when he was just slapping Earl Thomas around when they played the Ravens, I mean, at one point in time, he pushed Earl Thomas in the back so far ahead of him that Earl Thomas turned into a blocker momentarily for Derrick Henry. I mean, that's just insane. So, you know, I mean, I think it'll be a good game. Slow early, and then it'll pick up in the second half. Hopefully it won't be a sleeper like it was last year with the Rams and the Patriots.
You know, last year was the fact that we're going to watch the Super Bowl and not have to see Tom Brady's mug on the
yes,
TV.
Yes, exactly.
You future Steeler Tom
right.
Brady.
I don't have to, you know, you don't have to see Robert Kraft out there with his red face. Oh, yeah, I want another one. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right, so saying fuck you to Robert Kraft and Tom Brady is a pretty good way to end the show. Anything else you want to get out there? We're immediately going to go scramble and look up the name of the guy neither of us can remember. We failed in the internet era not being able to.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to look his name up, and it's like Cal or
right,
no?
We're not.
I don't know.
Well, all right. Anyway, we're out of here. It's at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email me. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email him. This will be published right
before Thompson.
Clay Thompson. There Jesus. You go. You cheated. All right.
We're I out. Had to.
Fair. No, I had I'm glad it's out there.
Cal, Kyle. What was I thinking?
Clay Thompson. We're out.